Thank you guys so much. That was fabulous. I like the spin that you gave on the weekend. I won't sing. I sing, no. So, I'm really loud or something. Something going on with me? No? All right, then. Well, I'm sure that most of you are familiar with the truth or dare game. I know when I was a teenager, we used to play that a lot at parties. It was very popular. And in this game, you have the choice of either answering a question that they give you, and it could be anything, answering it truthfully, or you take your chance at a dare. And the fun part is you have to pick which one you're going to do before you know what either one is, because that's part of the challenge. You know, so some of the truth questions, for example, can be pretty, well, some of the ones that I've heard have been pretty deep. Like one was, okay, if you only had 24 hours left to live, what would you do with those 24 hours? I know what I would do. If you were given a chance to become invisible for one day, what would you do with this ability? That would be a cool one, I think. What was the last lie you told? And who did you tell it to? Let's see, another one. Have you ever been unfaithful to your partner? That's a hard one. Do you lie about your income? And if so, do you lie up or down? And by how much? Okay. It depends. Okay. What feature are you self-conscious about, you know, of yourself? What are you self-conscious about? When you're trying to impress people, what personality trait do you hide? And would you still love your loved one if they gained 100 pounds? So those are some of the truth questions that I've heard. I'm sure you guys have your list of some that I feel are, you know. But the dare questions can also be just as daunting. Okay, I had some, let's see, put a blindfold on and then see if you can guess who you're touching by just touching their face. So who it is in the crowd. Have you ever tried to do that? It's really hard to do. It's really harder than you think. Eat 5 jalapeno peppers at once. Touch your nose with your tongue. And if you're unable to do that, you have to touch somebody else's nose with your tongue. Oh. Don would love that one. No. Go to a mall when it's busy, like on a Saturday, you know, before Christmas or something, and run around while screaming, "I lost my voice, please help me find it." And then there was one, name all 7, you know, all of Snow White's 7 dwarves, and if you're, the ones that you're unable, in 30 seconds, and if you're unable to name all of them, then we're going to write the names of the ones that you didn't get on your face in permanent ink. So, you know, you see, there's some dares, too, that wouldn't be very fun. For me, when I play that game, I haven't played in a long time, but when I play that game, I almost always choose to tell the truth because, frankly, the dares scare me more, and especially depending on who you're playing with this one. Oh, my God, I can imagine the dares. According to Webster's Dictionary, the definition of dare is to have enough courage or boldness for some act, to be fearless, to venture, to face, oppose, defy, or to challenge someone to do something hard or dangerous as a test of courage. And I don't have a problem telling the truth. I really don't. And the older I get, the more I tell on myself, as you guys have seen. I have no secrets for you all. I tell you pretty much everything about myself. And I actually find the truth to be quite liberating. I think the truth is always good, no matter what you're telling the truth about. But if you think about it, what is truth? Okay, so I'm going to go again to Webster's Dictionary, and Webster describes truth as the quality or state of being true, being sincere, genuine, or honest, the quality of being in accordance with experience, facts, or reality, conformity with fact, reality, and actual experience, agreement with a standard or a rule, or an established or verified fact or reality. Now, if you think about that for a minute, it's really kind of subjective and relative, isn't it? When you think about, you know, what, so, you know, who's, you know, the quality of being in accordance with experience or reality, whose experience? You know, whose reality are we talking about here? Okay? I don't know if you all have ever seen the movie Secondhand Lions. Anybody seen that movie? It's a great movie. You should rent it sometime. It's set in 1962 in the Texas countryside in the middle of nowhere. This 14-year-old boy named Walter is left by his irresponsible, dishonest mother with his two great uncles, his reclusive, very strange, extravagant two uncles, played by the fabulous Robert Duvall and Michael Caine. Those are the two uncles. And there's all kinds of mysteries and stories around these two. One is that they're said to have a fortune that they actually stole from Al Capone. You know, so there's all kinds of these eccentric uncles. They have no TV. Again, they're out in the middle of the Texas plains, the desert there, and they have nothing that's going to entertain a 14-year-old boy. So they entertain him in the old-fashioned way by telling him stories. This is what people used to do. They used to sit around the campfire and they used to tell each other stories. And we really lost that. I love that. I love to tell stories. And I love it when people tell me stories. It's just a great pastime. So anyway, the story was, and the way, you know, there's a lot of stuff in there, so I can't tell you all of it. But on the eve of World War I, Hub and Garth, those are the uncles, Hub and Garth, they arrived in France just as Germany was invading that country. And they soon were shanghaied, okay, and conscripted into the French Legion. So they became legionnaires, which led them to fight in many battles and have many, many adventures that they tell about in these stories. And then after the war, Garth became a guide in Africa, so he spent some time in Africa. While Hub traveled the world, he fell in love with Jasmine, who was actually engaged to a rich sheik. So there was a lot of action around that. And the sheik wanted, you know, to kill him for stealing his girlfriend and all of that. So anyway, like I say, there's a bunch of it's a very exciting thing for a young boy to be listening to, because there's sword fights and there's this and there's horse rides and all kinds of stuff. Well, one night, 14-year-old Walter, asks Hub, one of the uncles, he says, you know, those stories about Africa, they're true, aren't they? And then Hub proceeds to give him his famous "What Every Boy Needs to Know About Being a Man" speech. And this is what Hub says to answer that question, are the stories true? He says, sometimes the things that may or may not be true are things that a man needs to believe in the most. That people are basically good, that honor, courage, and virtue mean everything, that power and money, money and power mean nothing, that good always triumphs over evil, that love, true love, never dies. And no matter if they're true or not, a man should believe in those things, because those are the things worth believing in. In our passage today, Pilate asked Jesus a question. He says, are you the king of the Jews? And we're going to suppose that what Pilate is trying to find out, he's trying to find out the truth, okay, from Jesus about the accusations that the Jewish leaders are making against him. Because he's been asked to do that. The Jewish leaders have sent him Jesus, and they're saying this man's committed a crime, and Pilate needs to find out the truth about this crime. And it's interesting, because Jesus responds to him, he just kind of throws it back. He said, you say that I am king. You know, we were talking in Sunday school about the Socratic method, you know, answering a question with a question. So he neither directly affirms nor denies Pilate's words, and he returns this responsibility back at Pilate for the answer to that question. Because you see, God is never going to make us or force us to think or believe that something is true. God doesn't shove anything like that down our throats. Through faith in our relationship with him, we have to come to that decision on our own. And we do this, one of the ways we do this is by listening to his words that come to us through Scripture. Jesus says, everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice. No, like the sheep that follow the good shepherd's voice, to belong to the truth is to be one of Jesus' sheep. To belong to the truth is to recognize in Jesus the truth of God and to see the fullness of God revealed in Jesus. To hear the words of God in Jesus' voice. And clearly Pilate, among many others at that time, are not listening to the words of Jesus. You know, his very question to Jesus contains its own answer. And asking the question, what is the truth? He's asking that of the one who is the truth. So obviously he doesn't know the truth. So in that question, he reveals that fact that he doesn't know. He's not one of Jesus' sheep. And if you read on, you'll know that we didn't read that, the next verse after 37, 38, part of 38. If you read on, it says that even when it's all over and done and said and everything else, Pilate still asks, what is truth? That's what he asks. And you'll also notice if you read on, that Pilate doesn't stick around for an answer to that question. Perhaps he doesn't dare to know the truth. So although Jesus is on trial here, he's the one who testifies to the truth, and the world will be judged by its response. The world, Pilate, the Jews, us, will be judged by the response, our response to that word, to his witness. So the question comes down to, do you believe him or not? And will you trust his truth, or will you dare to ignore it? And sometimes it comes just down to that question. Do you dare to accept, acknowledge God's truth? In John 12, 46 through 49, Jesus tells us the truth. He says, I have come as light into the world, that whoever believes in me will follow my voice and will not remain in darkness. If anyone hears my sayings and does not keep them, I do not judge them, for I do not come to judge the world, but to save the world. He who rejects me and does not receive my sayings has a judge. The word that I have spoken will be his judge on the last day. For I have not spoken on my own authority. The Father who sent me has himself given me commandment of what to say and what to speak. So you see, the real trial here is not whether or not Jesus will be judged guilty of a capital offense, but whether or not Pilate and the Jewish people, the Jewish leaders, will be judged by his word. And not listening to the truth, they judge themselves. They're offered salvation, and they choose condemnation instead. They hear Jesus' words, and they do not keep them. So everything is at stake in the decision that one makes about the revelation of God in Jesus. So the question today is, do you dare make this decision? And I think that most of us here today would say yes to that question. We would, you know, if I asked you, each one of you, do you dare to believe what Jesus Christ is saying, what he's telling us in Scripture? You would say yes. But I'm not sure if I went on and I asked you why, you would be able to give me a really good reason for that. Well, let's talk again about dares, okay? I want to just talk about dares for a second. And I think it's pretty safe to say that if the dare involved saving the life of someone you love, you would not hesitate to do it. You wouldn't even think. No matter what the consequences were to yourself. As a matter of fact, at that moment, you wouldn't even be thinking about yourself. You would only be thinking about, how can I help? How can I save my loved one? And that's exactly what Jesus did for us. The truth is that Jesus dared to love us enough to die on a cross for the forgiveness of our sins so that we could have an eternal relationship with God. And that is the truth that I think we can dare believe, because it is all about love. Today, Victoria is going to share her acceptance of this truth with us. In her baptism, she's daring to give up her old life, to become reborn in the truth, and her